أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد
Inshallah, today we are going to discuss the events of the fifth year, which are mainly reflected in Surah Al-Ahzab in the Quran, and partially in Surah Al-Nur. There is the main event in the fifth year was the Battle of Ahzab, and there are some verses in Surah Al-Nur which deals with that aspects of that battle. And then mainly Surah Al-Ahzab deals with it. And it's interesting that apparently both these surahs were revealed in the fifth year of Hijrah, and both these surahs discuss in details the matter of hijab. Those of you who are studying Islamic studies, it may be a very good topic to do research why in the fifth year of Hijrah the matter of hijab became so important. And we have both in Surah Nur, in Surah Ahzab, the details of this matter of hijab was mentioned. I don't think anyone has done any investigation on this, why in this year particularly the matter of hijab suddenly became so important that many verses were revealed, both in Surah Nur and in Surah Ahzab. Now, we will talk about certain aspects of the hijab issue later on, inshallah. However, the most important thing in the fifth year was the Battle of Ahzab, or Confederates, or they call it Khandaq as well, the trench, because of different aspects of this battle. It was the most decisive battle, which actually determined the destiny of Mushrikun and Muslimun, both of them, both sides. And whatever happened, because the Battle of Ahzab took place in Ramadan, so 9 months, whatever happened before that were preparations for the battle on the side of Mushrikun, and also there were some small insignificant excursion events which happened in this year on the side of in Medina, which we do not deal with them. The most important thing is this Battle of Ahzab, or trench. Now, the Battle of the Confederates, Ahzab, the plural of Hizb, means of course party. So this is the battle of different parties coming together, making a confederation of qabail, of tribes, to fight against the Prophet, peace be on him. It was something unprecedented in Arab history, that all these tribes coming together, making a sort of confederation to fight an enemy. And of course, I think the Mushrikun themselves couldn't have done this if there was not the touch of the Jewish planning. So the first person, or the first people who actually started to think about this confederation, were the Jews, especially Huyay ibn Akhtab, who was the head of Banu Nadir, that we heard in Surah Al-Hashr of the previous year. He was banished from Medina, but he went to Khaybar. However, he was not going to just give up all those lands and everything. So he went to, step by step. The Battle of the Confederates, also known as the Battle of the Trench or Khandaq, because they actually dug a trench, took place in the ninth month of Ramadan in the fifth year of Hijrah. There was a siege of Medina, of course, when these Confederates came, 30 days siege. And God knows what ordeal Muslimun were experiencing during those 30 days. We'll talk about it. The Quran says, your faith shook heavily. People were losing faith because of the difficulties that they were experiencing during these 30 days of siege. The strength of the Confederate armies was around 10,000 men, with 600 horses and some camels, while the Medinan defenders numbered 3,000. This was the largest number of people that the Prophet, peace be on him, could put together to defend against these 10,000. When these 10,000 actually started to march from Mecca to Medina, everyone was thinking that this is the end of Prophet Muhammad, this is the end of Islam, Medina certainly would fall, and they would victoriously enter Medina, if it was not for the, of course, the measure that the Muslimun took. How the preparation came. When the Banu Nazir were expelled from Medina, majority of them went to Khaybar. And this is why later on, in the 7th year, Prophet attacked Khaybar. It was not just because they were non-Muslims, because they were constantly conspiring. The Jews in Khaybar and the Jews of Banu Nazir who went there, they were conspiring constantly. And then I will mention later on why what happened to Banu Qurayza happened to them, because of certain things which were going on here. Now, their chief, the chief of Banu Nadir, Huyay ibn Akhtab. He was a very, very shrewd, but very sort of, we can say, dark-minded person. Went to Mecca and induced Abu Sufyan to organize an expedition against the Prophet. Now, Abu Sufyan, in Uhud, they had some victory. They had half victory. But Abu Sufyan, you remember, he was humiliated the previous year. You remember in which battle? Badr al-Sughra, isn't it? In Badr al-Sughra, he said, we will come next year. The Prophet went to Badr waiting for him, and he was afraid and then went back with his army. He was humiliated. He needed some face-saving move. And of course, this was the best opportunity for him if all other tribes were coming together as well. So he pledged that if they attack Medina from outside, now this was the main sort of enticing factor. The Jews of Banu Qurayza will help them from within Medina. I will show you a map later on to see how dangerous the castles of this Banu Qurayza were established in Medina, and if they were going to join the Confederates, it was impossible to win. Impossible to win. And that's why Medina was scared up to their teeth. Everyone was scared in Medina, especially they were contemplating if Banu Qurayza joined the Confederates, because the Confederates were held behind the trench, isn't it? But Banu Qurayza were behind Muslim armies. Had they joined, everything would have been destroyed. Now, Huyay ibn Akhtab said, don't worry about Medina. Medina is in our hands. You come, you march towards Medina, Banu Qurayza will join us. Banu Qurayza has 700 strong army, men of fighting. And if they join us, everything is finished. So Banu Qurayza with 700 strong fighters had a treaty with the Prophet. Just like Banu Qaynuqa and Banu Nazir, they broke their treaty. They had not broken their treaty yet. So they had a treaty with the Prophet, but Ibn Akhtab said that he would persuade them to violate the treaty and join the Confederates if there was a war. This was a, of course, very palatable factor for Abu Sufyan and others. Their castles were situated about 2 miles away from Medina, in the southern part of Medina. In the western part we have Quba, just opposite that in eastern part were castles of Banu Qurayza. I will show you in the map later on, inshallah. And Abu Sufyan was counting on that very much. Abu Sufyan, who needed a face-saving move after the humiliation of Badr al-Sughra, seized the opportunity and assured them of his assistance and told them to persuade the Quraysh. So first, Ishaq ibn Akhtab, along with a few other prominent Jewish leaders, went to Abu Sufyan. He said, I agree, go and persuade other leaders of Quraysh. They went to them. When they came to Quraysh chiefs, they said, you are former people of the book. You have received book from God, from your Lord, Allah. Of course, everyone believed in Allah, Mushrikun, Jews, everyone believed in Allah. And you are aware of our religion and the religion of Muhammad, peace be on him. Tell us, we are not going to join you in this battle until you tell us whether Muhammad is right or we are right. He is on the right path or we are on the right path. So there's which religion is better and who is more rightful? They said, of course you are more guided than Muhammad. Now these people were mushrikun. Muhammad was a muwahid, peace be on him. The Jews were muwahid. So look at this verse. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَصِيبًا مِنَ الْكِتَابِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْجِبْتِ وَالطَّاغُوتِ وَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا هَؤُلَاءِ أَحْدَى مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا سَبِيلًا. In Surah Nisa, have you not regarded those who were given a share of the book, believing in idols and the rebels and saying of the pagans, these are better guided on the way than the faithful. Now this is a very famous verse in Surah Nisa, but the background of the revelation is when the Jews came to Mushrikun and said, you are more guided, and they went and prostrated before the idols, the Jews. SubhanAllah. I mean, how similar certain things may be. So, jept means idol. Jept is a Abyssinian term, means idol. And taghut, of course, is rebel, shaitan. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْجِبْتِ وَالْتَاغُوتِ. And they say that the kuffar are better guided than the believers. And then Allah says, although they believe in one God, although they are reading scripture, although they are followers of Musa alayhi salam, so to speak, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ. They are the ones whom Allah has cursed. وَمَنْ يَلْعَنِ اللَّهِ فَلَنْ تَجَدَ لَهُ نَصِيرًا. And whomever Allah curses, you will never find any helper for him. Do we find some parallels among Muslims today like them? I mean, going to this believer, saying that these are better than other Muslims, making alliances with them. SubhanAllah. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَلْعَنِ اللَّهِ فَلَنْ تَجَدَ لَهُ نَصِيرًا. Anyhow, thus the Quraysh were elated that the Jews had certified their faith. Muhammad says that I have scripture as former prophets had, but these Jews who read the scripture, they say, no, he's wrong, we are right. So let's make a sort of alliance and fight against Muhammad. After that, the Jews moved to other tribes like Qatafan, Banu Asad, Banu Ash'a, Banu Sulaym, and in this way they formed the Confederates or Al-Ahzab. Any of these tribes, each of them had 2,000, 1,000, 1,500, 700 men joined together. So they formed 10,000 men. It was unprecedented, as I said, unprecedented in Arabia, that such an army come together from tribes who were always fighting amongst each other, making this Ahzab. Now we understand the meaning and the sense of some of the verses in Surah Ahzab. فَلَمَّا رَأَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ. When these confederates appeared outside Medina, قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. This is what Allah and His Messenger have promised us, that we will be fought against, that everyone will make alliances against us. This is what they told us, and it's right, and we fight them. Of course, people with weak faith, how can we fight this 10,000 men from all tribes, Banu Qurayza behind us. How can we fight? Let's surrender. Of course, there was this difference. لَقَدْ as in Surah Ahzab, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Rasulullah was on the front line. You have good role model in the Prophet. Go on the front line. Don't worry about anything. Don't be scared. The inclusion of tribes and the preparation of the army and weapon took a few months. And eventually they moved out with 10,000 men. When the Prophet heard what a powerful army was advancing against him, he held a council of war with his companions. What should we do? They usually went outside Medina for battle. They didn't, of course, stay in Medina. It was easier for them to fight against the enemy outside Medina. But the 10,000 army, they couldn't. They couldn't actually, they didn't have enough power to fight them. So here came Salman the Farsi. Or Salman the Farsi. He said that a small force cannot withstand a large one. Let us entrench ourselves in such a manner that we can be attacked only from one quarter. So let us stay in Medina. He said, in Persia, whenever something like this happens, and we do not have the power to fight against the enemy, we dig a trench, and we do not let them to come in the city. If the city doesn't have castles, of course, even castles wouldn't help, because they siege the castles, and then eventually they go in. So the only way to stop them outside Medina, falling short of coming in, was this trench. The trench was wide enough so that the horses could not jump over it, and deep enough so that they could not go inside and come out. And it had only eight entrances or exits, bridges, which people could, if people of Medina wanted to go out and come in, I mean the soldiers. And they were heavily guarded, so the army could not come from these little passages. Now, his suggestions were accepted, and the ground was marked out from Uhud to Ratij. They were coming from northern part of Medina. This was the route that they usually came in. The southern part, the other parts were mountains, palm orchards. They could not come in from that side. I'll show you the map later, inshallah. But the north of Medina was an open area where they could actually come in. They made the trench there from Uhud to Ratij, which is another mountain, in north of Medina, and divided into sections of 20 or 30 feet, each section being assigned to a particular party to dig. Or in some accounts, the Prophet allotted 4 feet of digging to every single man. And he was one of them, the Prophet. It was very important that the companions see the Prophet is digging as well. Because the Munafiqun were disheartening them. Lord, it's futile. This army is not going to be stopped by this trench. So what are you doing? But Prophet was there. And because of the trench, because the army was coming, they were actually surrounded. They didn't have enough food. I'll mention about food later on. People hungry, they had to work morning to evening to dig this trench. About probably 700 men took part in digging the trench. There was an argument among them, Muhajirun and Ansar. Now, when Salman said, let's dig the trench, because everyone had lost heart. 10,000 men are coming, we cannot win. When Salman suggested such a thing, they found some fresh spirits. And then they were saying, the Muhajirun were saying, Salman is from us. And the Ansar were saying, Salman is from us. And this is where the Prophet said, peace be on him, Salman minna Ahl al-Bayt. Salman is from us, Ahl al-Bayt, neither from Muhajirun nor from Ansar. The entrenchment was finished 3 days before the coming up of the Quraysh. So, sort of the last minute, isn't it? Just three days before they arrived. And it took about 6 days, or some say 20 days, in digging the French people in Medina were divided into two groups. Those who disheartened people and fled from digging, and those who encouraged people and did not leave unless for very necessary causes. Even people were urgently needed to go, but they didn't go unless the Prophet allowed them to go. And some people, although the Prophet was encouraging them to go and start digging, they were fleeing. And this is why we have these verses in Surah An-Nur. As I said, both Surah An-Nur and Surah Ahzab were revealed in the fifth year. Surah An-Nur probably before Surah Ahzab, because this is preparation. Surah Ahzab talks about the battle. Surah An-Nur talks about digging the trench. إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله وإذا كانوا معه على أمر جامع لم يذهبوا حتى يستأذنوه إن الذين يستأذنونك أولئك الذين يؤمنون بالله ورسوله. Indeed, the faithful are those who have faith in Allah and His Apostle, and when they are with Him in a collective affair, which was digging the trench in this case, they do not leave until they have sought his permission. Indeed, those who seek your permission, it is they who have faith in Allah and His Apostle. فَإِذَا اسْتَأْذَنُوكَ لِبَعْضِ شَأْنِهِمْ فَأَذَنْ لِمَنْ شِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ. So when they seek your permission for some work of theirs, give permission to whomever of them you wish, and plead with Allah to forgive them. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Now, this is one group. The other group is what? No matter how much the Prophet called them to come and take part in digging the trench, they didn't go. And this is why, again, the following verse in Surah An-Nur says, لَا تَجْعَلُوا دُعَاءَ الرَّسُولِ بَيْنَكُمْ كَدُعَاءِ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Do not think when Prophet calls you, it's like when other people call you. When Prophet calls you, you have to obey. قَدْ يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ يَتَسَلَّلُونَ مِنْكُمْ لِوَاذًا. Allah certainly knows those of you who slip away undercover. So they came, because Prophet told you have to come. They came, but they slipped away. They just found some cover and left. So let those who disobey His orders beware lest an ordeal should visit them, or a painful punishment should befall them. Now, these verses tell us that even digging the trench was not an easy and a smooth process. Especially the munafiqun were coming. Why are you doing this? وَإِذْ قَالَ الطَّائِفَةُ مِنْهُمْ. This is Abdullah ibn Ubay and his followers. يَا أَهْلَ يَفْرِبَ لَا مُقَامَ لَكُمْ فَرْجَعُوا. And when a group of them said, O people of Yathrib, this is not a place for you, so go back. You know, Yathrib, after the arrival of the Prophet, peace be on him, was called Madinatun Nabi, isn't it? But these munafiqin didn't use the term. They still use Yathrib. We have this experience in Iran, when after the revolution they changed names of many streets, calling them after the name of Shuhada. But those who were against the revolution were calling it by their old names still. So the same thing here. They didn't call Yathrib Madinatul Nabi. So this is Yathrib. What has that to do with Nabi? He's just a new arrival in this city. Ya ahla Yathrib la muqama lakum farjoo. Why are you here? Go back. وَيَسْتَأْذَنُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمُ النَّبِيِّ. When they were told like this, they came to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, can we go? يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ بُيُوتَنَا عَوْرَةٌ. Our homes lie exposed. Banu Qurayza are behind us. We are all here digging the trench, Banu Qurayza, if they want to attack. There is no man in the city. So let us go back. إِنَّ بُيُوتَنَا عَوْرَةٌ وَمَا هِيَ بَعَوْرَةٌ. Although they were not exposed, they only sought to flee. Now, these dissensions increased, especially as they heard about the betrayal of Banu Qurayza. The news, when it is spread that Banu Qurayza is violating the treaty, Banu Qurayza is joining the Confederates. Now, you can imagine the city is just in front of Banu Qurayza. The men have left the city to dig the trench, and what sort of fear it would have actually bring to the heart of everyone, men, women, children, if Banu Qurayza are breaking their treaty with the Prophet. Despite all these difficulties, the trench was ready in 6 days. Now, interestingly, this is something you can learn. When they were digging the trench, there were some poets among them. They composed poetry, they started to sing songs. When they were digging the trench, they started to sing songs, especially these Abdullah ibn Rawaha. Of course, you, despite his very spiritual position, you know Abdullah ibn Rawaha was one of the three martyrs of the Battle of Mu'tah. That's when he went to battle, light was coming from his face. Now, he composed certain poetry to recite together so that they pass the time easily. لَهُمَّ لَوْ لَا أَنْتَ مَهْتَدَيْنَا. Imagine when they were just reciting this in certain beautiful tone. لَهُمَّ لَوْ لَا أَنْتَ مَهْتَدَيْنَا وَلَا تَصَدَّقْنَا وَلَا صَلَّيْنَا فَأَنْزَلًا سَكِينَةً عَلَيْنَا وَثَبِّتَ الْأَقْدَامَ إِنْ لَا غَيْنَا. Oh, our Lord, if it was not for you, we wouldn't have been guided. We wouldn't have given zakat, we wouldn't have prayed. So send sakina to our hearts and make our steps firm when we meet the enemy. They were just singing this, and in the scarcity of food was actually killing everyone. They didn't have, sometimes even they didn't have one date to eat while they were doing that very, very heavy work of digging. So the Prophet actually did some miracles here. Once the niece of Abdullah ibn Rawaha brought some dates for her uncle and her father. It was just one handful of dates. When she was passing by Prophet said, "What do you have, my daughter?" She said, "I have brought some dates for my uncle and my father." The Prophet said, "Give them to me." Prophet took them and spread them on a sort of piece of cloth, and then said, "Invite everyone to eat." And everyone came and ate, and the days were still there. This is one miracle. The other miracle, which is even more interesting, was the goat of Jabir. Now Jabir ibn Abdullah, had a goat and some flour in the house. When he was passing by the Prophet, he saw Prophet is sleeping and on his back, just after digging, and had tied a very big stone on his stomach so that he wouldn't feel the pain of hunger. When he saw the Prophet like that, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, Ya Allah, this cannot be. Although I have only one goat, I'm going to offer that to Prophet." So he just woke the Prophet up and said, "Ya Rasulullah, would you come to our house for dinner?" Rasulullah said, "What do you have for dinner?" He said, "I have a goat I want to slaughter, and some flour my wife wants to make some bread." Then Rasulullah said to someone, "Say everyone is invited to Jabir's house tonight." Jabir said, قال رسول الله يا أهل الخندق إن جابرا صنع لكم شوربا فحي عليكم. Come on, Jabir has cooked some shurba for you. Jabir said, إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. How is this going to happen? So he rushed to his wife and said, "Look, all Medina is coming to our house tonight. What are we going to do?" Now his wife, you know, usually women are more clever. So his wife said, "Didn't you tell Rasulullah what do we have?" He said, "Yes, I told him." He said, "Don't worry, Rasulullah now knows himself. He has invited." So everyone came, and of course Rasulullah was serving. Everyone ate and went satisfied with that one goat of Jabir. And these are just some stories to tell that the hunger, the trouble, the severity of the situation was as such that it couldn't have been going on except with miracles. No food, no rest, people working morning to evening. Of course, the danger was. Now, there's one amazing incident in digging the trench as well. The second day they came to a rock. This story has been mentioned in different ways, that which the prophet broke in pieces. Jabir reports that. Here was a flash of lightning when the prophet hit that stone with his pickaxe, and so bright was the light that we saw the palace of Sham. On the second blow, we saw the palace of Madian, and the third, we saw the palace of Yemen. The Holy Prophet said, you will conquer those places. The Muslims were pleased to hear this. The hypocrite said, he is promising the palace of Qaisar and Kasra, but is digging a trench in fear of the enemy. And at this juncture, the following verse was revealed. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكَ تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءَ وَتَنْزُعُ الْمُلْكَ مِنْ مَنْ تَشَاءَ. It's in the hand of Allah. Of course, he can give it to anyone he wishes. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءَ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءَ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرَ إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Now, Ibn Bawwi reports this in a slightly different way. Let's pass on, we don't have much time. After the dish was ready, the Prophet came to Medina and appointed Ibn Maktum as his viceroy. He was a blind man because he didn't need any man in Medina, actually. He wanted everyone in the battlefield. And placed women and children in their castles and moved out with his army to the ditch. When the Confederates reached Al-Aqiq, about 100 kilometers from Medina, Huyay ibn Akhtab visited Banu Qurayza to induce them to join the Confederation against the Prophet. Now, of course, Banu Qurayza had a league with the Prophet, enjoyed the protection of the Prophet. Some of the articles of the treaty was mentioning that if Medina is attacked, everyone should defend, including Jews. Now, these Jews didn't come to defend. Of course, later on, maybe the Prophet would have asked them to go. Now, Huwayy arrived at their castle in the night, knocking at the door of Ka'b ibn Usayd, the head of Banu Qurayza. Ka'b realized, what is the purpose of Huyay ibn Akhtab coming here, the head of Banu Qurayza? So he did not open the door. He said, go away, we don't want to talk to you. I know why you are here. He said, no, I have come to bring you the... Ka'b said that the man ruined his own tribe and has now come to bring calamity upon us by urging us to break our treaty with the Prophet, who has been faithful and kind to us. He said, I have come to proffer you exalted fortunes. If Muhammad goes, just imagine what will happen. Medina is ours again. Aus and Khazraj are defeated by Quraysh. It's only us in Medina. He exaggerated the number and power of the allies and that it was impossible the Prophet could escape an utter destruction this time. This is the end of him. It's impossible that he can escape. And he met with other tribe leaders and after a lengthy argument. Now, this Ka'b did not let him in. He said, go away. Now, at the end of the argument from behind the door, he said, I know why you are not letting me in. You are frightened that I eat from your food. Now, these Arabs were very, whether Jews or others, were very sensitive about this matter of providing for guests and these things. He said, I know that you are trying to deceive me, but I cannot have the shame of people telling me that you did not accept the guest coming. Now, coming was the end of the story. He went in, talked to him, talked to other leaders of the tribe, and of course, he brought the views together. Now, then he said, bring me the written treaty that you have with the Prophet. They brought it to him, he told them, now you have no treaty with the Prophet, that's all. Now you have no alternative but to fight for security now. They said, okay, Huyay, you have come here You have made us to break our treaty, to tear our treaty. You have to stay with us. Whatever happens to us will happen to you. Stay here in the castle, we don't let you go. He said, okay, we are going to win anyhow, no problem. So he stayed with them. They said, Quraysh is coming from outside. We are here in Medina. If they are defeated and go away, the Prophet would come on us. So you stay with us. Said, no problem, they are not going to be defeated. Now, the Ahzab had never seen such a thing, a trench. They were thinking that we go to Uhud, the Muslimun come out to Uhud, we just fight, they are defeated. So they encamped by Uhud thinking that the Muslims would meet them there, but they waited for a while, no one has come to fight us. So they proceeded towards Medina, and they were faced with the ditch. Okay, what are we going to do here? They camped outside the ditch, and with a formidable army of the Confederates, the news of the defection of Banu Qurayza came as a shock. Now the Confederates are there, Banu Qurayza are behind. If they break the treaty, what will happen? Now it came as a shock and much depressed the Prophet and his companions. He sent a few men, among them Sa'd ibn Ma'az, because I want to talk about this Sa'd ibn Ma'az later, the head of Aus, to learn the true state of the matter. He told them, if they found reports correct on their return, they do not talk to anyone, and they do not give the news to the Prophet in public. Just make a sign. And Prophet said, just say Azal Anqara. That's all. If it's true that they have broken their treaty, just say Azal Anqara. You remember Azal Anqara? Anyone remember Azal Anqara? Bi'r Ma'una, Azal Anqara came, asked Prophet to send them teachers of Quran, and then they killed them. Isn't it? That betrayal. This was a password for betrayal. Just say Azal Anqara. So they came to Banu Qurayza. Sa'd ibn Ma'az had a treaty, was a friend of them, others were friend of them. He said, we are hearing news that you are breaking your treaty with the Prophet. Who's the Prophet? Who's Prophet? Muhammad the Prophet. We don't know Muhammad. Go away. They started to swear at the Prophet. Well, they reviled the Prophet in very abusive terms. These men were shocked. What has happened? Why Banu Qurayza are behaving like this? So they returned to the Prophet and gave the concerned password. They said, Ya Rasulallah, Azal Anqara. It's true. Banu Qurayza, by way of policy, the Prophet exclaimed, a curse on them. I ordered them to do so. Now, to do what? The Prophet wanted to say that it's not a betrayal. There's something between us. Okay? He didn't want people to... Had people, of course, knew that Banu Qurayza have broken their treaty, they would have stopped fighting. What's the point? They are joining the Confederates. Anyhow, this was said with the design that the Quraysh spies, who were always around, might suspect that was a collusion between him and the Banu Qurayza, and that they were laying a plot to ensnare the Quraysh. And this was important because of the strategic position of the Jews in Medina. Now look at this map. Here we have Uhud. You see Jabal Uhud there. This is another mountain. And between these two, here and the other mountain, and Uhud is in front of them, they dug the trench. Okay? Now, they had no other way to enter Medina. They only had to come from this side. Now, this is Quba, so you know, about a couple of kilometers away from Medina. And these are the castles of Banu Qurayza. So Banu Qurayza are inside Medina, and they can very easily attack from behind. Especially they can attack the houses. I mean, the Muslims are fighting there. They could attack the houses here. And the Muslims could not live. There were 8 passages there, and just they needed enforcement all the time. So you can see that the betrayal of Banu Qurayza was so dramatic for Muslims that it was even more frightening than the Ahzab themselves who were coming from Mecca. That's why the Prophet wanted the news to remain secret. No one should know about that. But the news did not remain secret, and it instilled terror in the hearts. This, in addition to the disheartening negativity of the hypocrites, created an unbearable poor morale among the Muslims. Except, of course, as we have in the verse, وَلَمَّا رَعَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Those firm believers there. Now, first of Surah Ahzab describes this. إِذْ جَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ. When they came at you from above and below you. Some say it's referring to Banu Qurayza and the Ahzab. وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ. And when the eyes rolled with fear, وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ, and the hearts leapt to the throats, وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ, and you will entertain misgivings about Allah. That's the end of us. The Prophet promised us, the promises were not true. We are not actually anything. Allah is not going to help us. They were in such a situation. Now, هُنَالِكَ بْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزَلُوا زَلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. It was there that the faithful were tested and jolted with a severe agitation. وَزُلْزَلُوا زَلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. Do we learn lessons for today? For our time? Of course we have to learn lessons for our time as well. We have different confederates, isn't it? The Italaf against Yemen, the Italaf against Iran, and all these things. Why should we be afraid? Why should we be afraid, isn't it? Well, هَلْ تَرَبَّسُونَ بِنَا إِلَّا إِحْدَى الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ. One of the two goods will come to us. Either we are martyred or we win. So there should be any wider. هُنَالَكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزَلُوا زَلْزَالَ شَيْدًا. وَإِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ. These are the verses of Surah Ahzab. وَإِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. And when the hypocrites were saying, as well as those in whose hearts was a sickness, that weak faith people, Allah and His apostles did not promise us anything except delusion. That was just delusion. It's going to come to an end. Now, Banu Qurayza, seeing the houses, they had broken their treaty, seeing the houses of Muslimun empty, men out, women inside the castles or houses, they attempted to somehow loot the houses of Muslims. They had not yet decided to attack because they had to somehow make plans with the Confederates outside to attack together. So they had not yet decided to attack. They were still frightful or somehow fearful that if they attack and Ahzab would not attack, Prophet would finish them off. So they were waiting to actually liaise with each other. But they started looting the houses, coming to the houses of Muslims who were in the battlefield and trying to loot, steal something. And there was a very interesting story here. Safiya bint Abdul Muttalib, this is the aunt of the Prophet, isn't she? She saw a Jewish man, a very strong Jewish man, was just going around the castle in which they were, trying to find a way to enter. There were only women and children. Now, Hassan ibn Sabit, who was a poet, you have heard about him, Hassan, who had that poetry about Ghadir, but a very weak sort of man, was in the castle, said, go and fight this man. If this man comes in, frightens all women and children, loot whatever. He said, don't ask me fighting. If I knew fighting, I would have gone to Khandaq, the battle. So she came down and fought against that man and killed him. Killed that man, went up and said, now go and take the armor and other things. If he was not a man, I would have taken it. He said, even that I'm afraid to do. I don't go. And this shows the amount of meanness of Banu Qurayza when they were doing that. Proposal of peace to Ghatafan and rejection of Ansar. Now, Prophet was thinking, what should I do? I mean, if Banu Qurayza attacks us, if they want to do something in liaison with each other, we cannot fight them. So he sent someone to Ghatafan and told them, if you agree to leave the Confederates, I make a peace treaty with you. And I will talk to heads of Ansar to give one third of the proceeds of palm orchards of Medina to you every year. He didn't say we give it to you, he said I will talk to them. They agreed. He came to Sa'd ibn Mu'az, Sa'd ibn Ubadah, the heads of Aus and Khazraj. He said, I was proposing to make peace with Ghatafan so that they somehow break away with Confederates. We have a bit of leeway here. They said, Ya Rasulallah, is this an order? Or this is something that you are negotiating with us? You are consulting with us? He said, no, I'm consulting with you. They said, Ghatafan, before this, could not taste one date of Medina, except if they were our guests or we sold it to them. Now that they have done such a thing to us, they have come to fight us, we do not let them to taste our dates. We fight them. Rasulullah said, that is the right decision you have made. But anyhow, the negotiations were going on. Prophet wanted to somehow break away this confederation. Now, while the Confederates were on the other side, shootings were going on. Shooting of arrows. To the extent that even the Muslims could not pray. They were constantly defending by shields, sending arrows. And in this way, many of Muslims were injured. 6 Muslims were martyred. One of the injured was Sa'd ibn Mu'az, of whom I will talk later on. Now, after about a couple of weeks, 2 weeks, 15 days, 16 days, 17 days, they were tired, sitting outside. We have come here to fight. We are just sitting here eating and drinking and spending time. And it was winter. It was very cold. You never could expect Medina to become very cold, but it says that it was so cold that people were freezing, even on the side of the Prophet, or on the Prophet was on the Mount Sala, which was I forgot to show it to you, this where the Masjid al-Fat and others are. It was freezing. So it's cold, we are finishing our provisions. So a few of the most ferocious combatants decided to somehow jump over the trench. And they did. 4 or 5 of them. One of them, Amr ibn Abdawud. You have heard about this. Amr ibn Abdawud came to this side. Amr ibn Abdawud, they say that he could actually stop an army of 1,000 men. So brave. So fierce. So strong. And no one dared to fight him. So he came this side. He said, now who wants to come and fight? No one went. Imam Ali said, asked the Prophet, can I go? He said, no. I mean, Imam Ali was still very young. This man was a man of wars and battles. He said, Ya Ali, this is Amr. You know him. Actually, they were neighbors. At the time of Abu Talib, they were neighbors. They knew each other. He called him uncle. Ali ibn Abi Talib called Amr ibn Abdul uncle. He called him son. Abdul called Imam Ali son. So Rasulullah said, Ya Ali, he is Amr. Second time, after he was just calling, he was saying that, Inna jannatakum allati taz'umun. And Aina jannatakum allati taz'umun. Where is your paradise? You think if you die, you go to paradise. Come, I want to send you to paradise. Why don't you come? I mean, this was very bad, isn't it? Very humiliating. And after saying all this, he said, من النداء بجمعكم هل من مبارز ووقفت إذ جبن الشجاع مواقف القرن المجد. My voice is what we call it, is gone. As much, my voice is gone, as much as I call, is there any combatant? Come and fight me. Now you are an army there, I'm one man. Come and fight me. Qala Rasulullah, now, Imam Ali said, Ya Rasulullah, allow me. He said, go Ya Ali. And he put his own armor on him, prayed for him. And then when Imam Ali went, he said, لَقَدْ بَرَزَ الْإِيمَانُ كُلُّهُ إِلَى الشَّرَكَ كُلُّهُ. Now this is Iman in its totality, going to Shirk in its totality. Now he went, and he said, answering his sort of poetry, bragging, وَلَقَدْ بَحَحْتُ مِنَ النِّدَاءِ بِجَمْعِكُمْ هَلْ مِنْ مُبَارِزٍ. My voice is gone as much as I have called. He said, لَا تَعْجَلَنَّ. Do not hurry. Do not rush. فَقَدْ أَتَاكَ مُجِيبُ صَوْتِكَ غَيْرُ عَاجِزٍ. The respondent has come to you, a respondent which is not weak. ذُنِيَّةٍ وَبَصِيرَةٍ وَالصِّدْقُ مُنْجِي كُلِّ فَائِزٍ إِنِّي لَأَرْجُو أَنْ أُقِيمَ عَلَيْكَ نَائِحَةَ الْجَنَازِ. I hope to hear the sound of crying women on you. And just this bragging that was there. And when they met, Amr ibn Abdulwud saw this is Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, isn't there any of your uncles here to come and fight me? You're just a boy. I don't want to fight you. He said, but I want to fight you. He said, I don't want to kill you. He said, but I want to kill you. Making him angry. Because he knew Amr wouldn't have fought Ali ibn Abi Talib. I mean, he called it, my son, go away. I kill you. I don't want to kill you. Your father was my friend. But Imam Ali, in a sense, made him, to motivate him for fight. Eventually he said, okay, if you want to be killed, I don't mind. Imam said, I have heard that in every battle, you would fulfill the desire of your enemy, one of the three desires, or all three of them, demands. If your enemy demands something from you, you will accept it. Three or one of the three. He said, okay, what are your demands? I will fulfill that. He said, my first demand is that you become a Muslim. And we don't fight. He said, not possible. He said, my second demand is that you just go back. Do not fight. I don't want to kill you. Now this young boy telling to Amr ibn, I don't want to kill, just go back. He said, if I go back, what would people say about me? As young boy came to him and he didn't fight against him. He said, okay, what is your third wish? He said, my third wish is that you come down your horse and we fight on foot. He said, it's very strange. No one dares to fight me on foot. Everyone actually wants to fight me while I'm on my mount. He said, if you would like to fulfill that. She said, okay. They came down. Now, it is mentioned that the dust went up and they were fighting for a while, and suddenly people heard Allahu Akbar. That's done. This is Ali calling Allahu Akbar. So everyone knew that he was killed. And you know the story, how, for example, Imam alayhi salam wanted to finish him, but he had his spat on him and he just didn't kill him for a while so that his anger would subside, and all the stories. Anyhow, now, after this, a little help came. Oh, these small things were happening, but a little help came, which was very, very important. This was a gift from Allah subhanahu. Now, in one of those gloomy nights, Nu'aym ibn Mas'ud al-Ashja'i, this was the man who Abu Sufyan came in Badr al-Sughra to somehow dishearten the Prophet, visited the Prophet and said that I have become a Muslim 3 days ago. Now, how is it possible? He was one of the Confederates. He was in the battle. He was in that army. Muslims were so weak. Muslims were in the verge of collapse. And in this situation, he had converted to Islam. But I have concealed the fact from the Quraysh. And they still think that I'm one of them. Now, I have come to you. I'm ready to do whatever service you want. Because they think I'm one of them. And if permitted, would create dissension between Quraysh and Banu Qurayza. The Prophet said, that's very good. Go and do whatever you think is expedient. We are running over time, but let me finish this, inshallah. Okay. Maybe we leave questions and answers for next week. This battle of Asab didn't take long, but I am taking long, actually, discussing it. Anyhow, it took 1 month. So, he said that, do whatever you want. So what he did, I just explained to you. He went to Banu Qurayza. He said, you know, Quraysh is tired. The Confederates are just stuck behind the trench. They are going to leave soon. And if they go and you start fight, if they ask you, because they are tired, they want to start the battle in one way or another. Now, if they start the battle and they cannot come to Medina, they leave. Now, they leave, you are in Medina. What would the Prophet do to you? He said, you are right. What if they leave and we are here in Medina? What should we do? He said, ask them that we do not fight alongside with you unless you give us 10 men to keep us hostage. So that we know you do not leave. Okay? He came and said to Banu Qurayza this. Then he went to Quraysh. He said, you know, I have news from Banu Qurayza. They are actually regretting why they broke their treaty. They want to make up for it. They have gone to the Prophet. They have said that we take 10 men from Quraysh. We give them to you. And let's restart the treaty just as if nothing has happened. They said, is that so? Wow, it was very important. You told us. Thank you so much. Now, okay, Banu Qurayza wanted 10 men. Now he had come to, had told them. Banu Qurayza sent an emissary to Abu Sufyan. Give us 10 men so that we are sure, as assurance, that you do not leave without us. Abu Sufyan said, yes, this is what Nu'aym ibn Mas'ud said. They want 10 men to give to the Prophet. So the sort of treaty between Banu Qurayza and Quraysh broke away. On the other hand, he told them, okay, I have mentioned this, and there was a decisive night. The Confederates were tired of staying idle behind the trench, disheartened by the mutiny of the Jews. They thought that Jews have left them, and called by the freezing winter. To all these, Allah added a devastating wind which uprooted their tents and moved away their luggage. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, again Surah Ahzab, udhkuru ni'matallah alaykum idh ja'atkum junudun fa'arsalna alayhim rihan wa junudan lam tarawha. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا. Oh, you have faith, remember Allah's blessing upon you when the hosts came at you and we sent against them a gale and hosts whom you did not see, and Allah sees best. Now, this wind that Allah sent, it was taking the tents to the sky, the huge pots that they had for cooking food for the army. It was just taking it along with, it was so fierce, a sort of wind, as Allah says, أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا, we send them a wind, that they could not. In such a night, the Prophet sent Huzaifa to bring him some news from the enemy. It was very, very scary if someone wanted to go into the lines of enemy. Now, this Huzaifa, I'll just pass a couple of lines. Huzaifa, after, of course, some sort of reluctance, he went to the lines of enemy. He said that I saw Banu Abu Sufyan stood to talk. He said, I want to say something very important. See who's sitting beside you so that there is no spy amongst us. Now this Huzaifa was sitting between Muawiyah and Amr ibn As. See who's sitting beside you, we don't want spies here. So as soon as Abu Sufyan said this, Huzaifa said to Muawiyah, who are you? He said, I'm Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Who are you? I'm Amr ibn As. Okay, now I'm happy now. There's no spy here. So in this way, now Abu Sufyan said that we are tired. Banu Qurayza is defecting. I want to go back. He just saying this, he mounted on his camel, and they said the camel was tied, he didn't realize, was just trying to somehow force the camel to go until he realized that the camel, and they went. So the camp was empty. The hard days of Muslims during the siege, I think I just passed, there were some booties, they left everything behind. Now, I want to ask you one question. What should Prophet now to do to Banu Qurayza? You tell me. Just put yourself in that situation. Quraysh left, Confederates left, Banu Qurayza is there. What do you think the Prophet should do to Banu Qurayza? Tell me.
Increase the tax. It has to be an inflated tax for 2 years of the penalty.
2 years?
At least.
To do what?
Pay an increased tax.
Increased tax for such a mutiny. Wow.
You said there's only six deaths.
No. Banu Qurayza, they were actually destroying everything in Medina, yes.
They are guilty of treason.
Yeah.
What do you do with someone who's guilty of treason? High treason, actually.
Exile.
Execution.
Isn't Allah more merciful than the Prophet? What put people in hell, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, let's see what Banu Qurayza said. In the morning of the flight, the Prophet returned to Medina and took a bath in the house of Fatima, peace be on her. At this time, Jibreel brought the command of God that he had to move to Banu Qurayza without delay. So at night, the Confederates left. The morning, Prophet came to Medina, had a bath. Jibreel came, Ya Rasulallah, you have to go now to Banu Qurayza. So he said, announce that everyone, he prayed his Zuhr, and said, announce that everyone should pray their Asr in Banu Qurayza neighborhood. Now this was a sort of point of argument between the companions as well, because some of them were a bit late. As was becoming qaza, and they didn't know what to do. Should they pray, or they pray in Banu Qurayza qaza? So some of the companions rushed to Banu Qurayza, didn't pray their ass, they did qaza. Some did their ass, and when they came to the Prophet, which one of us were right? The Prophet said, both are right. Yeah, because I told you, come and do your ass in Banu Qurayza. You thought that I mean really you have to do your ass in Banu Qaza. Okay. But certainly those who did their ass before Qaza, they were right. Anyhow, he prayed Zuhr and instructed Bilal to announce whoever is obedient to Allah and his messenger should pray ask in Banu Qurayza neighborhood. The Prophet set a siege on their castles, which lasted for 25 days. They were still fighting. They did not just submit. They were fighting. And the last night, which was a Saturday night, you know, Saturday night, they do not fight, isn't it? Ka'b ibn Usayd, the chief, suggested to his people three options, all of which they declined. One option, he said, Muhammad is not going to leave us. We did high treason. We allied with the enemies. We broke our treaty, he's not going to leave us. And I mean, if Muhammad does such a thing, what would happen to Medina after this? So, he said, I'll give you three options. One, convert to Islam and live in safety. If they converted to Islam, Prophet said, live in your castles, that's fine. I have nothing to do with you. No. How can we leave our religion and become Muslims? Okay, kill their women and children. Let's kill our women and children and fight to the end. We don't want our women and children to be captured by Muslims. We kill them and we fight until we die. Said, we kill our women and our children with our own hands. Such a silly and stupid suggestion, isn't it? Okay, third, make a surprise attack on that Saturday night, because Muslims are now sleeping. They are assured that we do not attack on Saturday. Are we going to violate Saturday? No, of course we are not going to do that. He said, okay, do whatever you want. I don't know what to do anymore. Now, despite the general rejection, a couple of Jews converted to Islam and left the castle with their families in safety. Because Prophet said, anyone converting to Islam, that's fine. Anything that you have done before this in mutiny, treason, is forgiven. But only a couple of families. The negotiations of Abu Lubaba now. You know who's Abu Lubaba, isn't it? The man of the Pillar of Toba. The Jews sent a messenger to the Prophet. Send Abu Lubaba to us because he's our friend. We want to negotiate with him. When he went in, he saw women, children crying, what is going to happen to us? And they said, Abu Lubaba, you are our friend, tell us what to do. We don't know what to do. What is Muhammad going to do with us? He said, my advice is that you surrender. But because he was the friend, he said, you'll be killed. You surrender, but you'll be killed. As soon as he said this, he realized Prophet, this was a secret. This was a military secret. Why have I done that? So he came out of the castle, didn't go to Prophet anymore, just went to Masjid al-Nabi, tied himself to that Pillar of Toba, said, I have betrayed the Prophet. So let me do Toba here. After Prophet heard, he said, had he come to me, I had forgiven him. Now he has gone to ask forgiveness from God. Let him be there until God sends something, reveals something about him. Oh, the story, of course, you know this story. Banu Qurayza said that we surrender provided there is an arbitration. Rasulullah said, who do you want to be the arbiter? They said, we want Sa'd ibn Mu'az. Sa'd ibn Mu'az was injured. When he was injured, he said, Ya Allah, because he was badly injured, if Quraysh is going to continue fighting, keep me alive until I fight them to the end and then kill me. And if they are going to go, keep me alive until I see what will happen to Banu Quraysh, because they really did something terrible to Muslims in that battle. Now, they actually had made a tent for him in Masjid, beside the Masjid, nursing him. The Prophet said, go and bring Sa'd, whatever he says. They are happy. With whatever Sa'd says, they are happy. So go and bring Sa'd. They brought Sa'd on a sort of carrying him on a bronco or something like that. And when Sa'd came, when people were coming with Sa'd, they said, Sa'd, be kind to them, be merciful. And he did not talk. Sa'd, they are our allies, be merciful to them. He didn't say anything. When they saw the attitude of Sa'd, they said, Banu Qurayza is finished. If this is the arbiter, Banu Qurayza is finished. So they brought him. Sa'd said to Banu Qurayza, are you happy with my arbitration? Whatever I rule? They said, yes. He looked at Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, are you happy with whatever I rule? Rasulullah said, yes, you rule. He said, my ruling is that all men of Banu Qurayza should be killed. And women and children should be captured, taken captives. Rasulullah said, this is the arbitration. So this is what happened. All the men were killed. They were actually expecting to be given something like Banu Qurayza, deportation. But Banu Qurayza were different from this high treason, isn't it? This was very difficult. Anyhow, his marriage to Zainab bint Jahsh is another story that we leave it for next week, inshallah. So we did not finish fifth year yet. Inshallah, there are another two ladies that he is going to marry in the fifth year. So we leave it for next week, inshallah.
Yeah, the Jews who prostrated in front of those idols, the original Ahle Kitab, do they become kafir or do they become mushrik or what? Or they remain as
they just wanted to appease the mushrikun. It was a sort of probably tactical move by them. Should we leave the five questions for next week? I think because some of the questions we have not yet covered. So, any questions from what we have discussed? And you could see Rahmatun Lil Alameen, that didn't mean that high treason is not punished, isn't it? We have to look into the totality of the prophets, isn't it? There's a limit to that, yes.
If they knew they were going to be killed, would it be better off that they converted to Islam? Like the same way as in Makkah, I want to be afterward in Islam.
But the Jews, they were very sort of strong in their faith, in their religion. They didn't want, they were ready to die but not convert to Islam. Taken as captives. Yeah. Yeah. Any other question?
I think this is the first time I've actually heard that the Prophet agreed for some people to be killed.
The Prophet what, sorry?
I think this is the first time that I've actually heard that the Prophet agreed for some people to be killed.
Well, I mean, Prophet was a leader, was a military tactician, a military commander. I mean, when he's faced with such a high treason, you have no other choice, isn't it? And then, had he not done that, these men would have gone to Khaybar, isn't it?
And then done more damage.
And then bring more damage. Mm-hmm. So that was the reason. Like Banu Nazir, who went to Khaybar and brought this damage to everyone. I mean, it was the heads of Banu Nazir who went to Quraysh, made the confederates, talked to Banu Qurayza. Had he killed them, this wouldn't have happened, isn't it?
Yes.
Can we have the mic here?
Sorry. Was there a reason why Saad made this dog to keep him alive until you saw what had happened to
Banu Qurayza? You had to be there to feel what Banu Qurayza did to Muslims. I mean, the betrayal was so terrible in terms of morale of Muslims in those very frightening days, scary days, that, I mean, even if you were there, you would have loved to see what would happen to Banu Qurayza.
Apologies if you have covered this, but why was Saad chosen as the arbitrator?
Because Saad was an ally of Banu Qurayza before that, and a good friend of them. They requested Saad. They thought if Saad comes, he would actually rule in their favor. But they were somehow underestimated what damage they had brought to people of Medina, to Aws and Khazraj, that Saad decided on such a sort of dramatic decision.
How did the Prophet deal with the hypocrites after the war? Because they brought down the morale of the companions.
He didn't do anything to hypocrites, you see. I mean, there were people of weak faith or no faith at all. But they hadn't actually committed such a treason, isn't it? They didn't want to go to battle or they disheartened people. No, he didn't do anything to them.
This group, Abu Khurais or whatever, they didn't have how to dig the trenches?
Because no. Everyone was supposed to help out, weren't they?
Yeah, they didn't. No, they didn't at all. They were supposed to do that. I mean, part of the treaty was that if Medina is attacked, everyone, regardless of their faith, they have to defend. But they didn't. I mean, what they did was more than just ignoring the treaty. They ignored the treaty, they tore it off, they reviled the Prophet, they breakfasted Muslims, they allied with the enemies. I mean, all these together.
What number are we talking about?
As I said, they had 700 men. Yeah.
One more question.
I'm just wondering, why do all the Jewish tribes and leaders have like Arabic names? Did they adopt the Arabic culture?
They were Arabs, actually. They were speaking Arabic. So they had lived there for more than 500 years. So their language was Arabic, their names were Arabic, and they called Allah, God Allah, the same as Arabs. But there were still some Jewish names like Benjamin, like Salam. These names were Jewish that they had.
Salam. So when it comes to interfaith work, like true, real interfaith work, how is it that we're supposed to get over this thing where the Jews were really against the Prophet? Like, how are we supposed to deal with that today? On one level, we have the Zionists, but if you put them aside, like just the mainstream liberal Jews, like, yeah, what's...
Well, this is history, of course, isn't it? It's like, for example, the misgivings that Sunnis and Shias have against each other in history. That's history, okay? Yeah, we can build our relation today, nowadays. What people of Banu Qurayza did should not be written for the Jews today, for example. They are not responsible for that. Or whatever, for example, early Muslims did in terms of Sunni-Shia rivalry should not be written for today, Sunnis and Shias. So this is history. What we have to do today to see, of course, the situation now, who's working against who, who's building bridges with whom, that's what we have to see today. Sorry, what?
The Jews don't actually know now. If you talk to them about Banu.
No, of course, it's history, isn't it?
It's history.
It's I don't know. I mean, how much do we know about this history? They know less. And the only thing is about Khaybar. That's some Muslims actually mentioned that, and Jews, especially this conflict between Zionist Jews and Muslims in Lebanon and other places, they talk about Khaybar all the time, that we conquered Khaybar once and we will conquer your lands now. So these things may go, but these details of history, of course, no one knows. And even if they know that, it doesn't make any, it doesn't make any meaningful difference. This is history. And in history, of course, you are not responsible for what people did in the past.
Asan Shakuna, thank you very much.
Sallallahu
ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.